Well, you know, I am going to share something this morning that I believe, you know, it's a truth that we know, but it's stirring in me, and I am going to do my very best in the natural to hear him and to share it the way he wants it to be shared and as he's prompting here. But we've been sharing on this particular subject of the voice of faith, and today I want to, you know, in that same context, talking about speaking, I want to talk, just share a little bit today about maintaining your expectation. Maintaining your expectation. And I believe if you listen to this and listen to it and listen to it and feed upon the scriptures, and then of course, you know, I have books through the years that I've accumulated and been to many meetings where Charles Capps was a teacher. He would go to, he would be a, you know, he would teach a lot of times at the Kenneth Copeland Crusades, and I would go to back in the 80s. I would go to at least back in the 80s and 90s before I started working here where I didn't have as much time. But during that time, I would go to at least 5 meetings a year. I would go to a couple of meetings with the Hagen Ministry and a few with the Copeland Ministry. And I would spend that week immersed in the Word of God. And I was just hungry, still hungry. But Charles Capps was a great influence on the body of Christ in this particular area of confession. And I believe God wants us to I want to say we know this, but the more you feed upon it, the more you see it, and the more you see where we can make adjustments in our lives, adjustments with our words. And the more, you know, it's like a professional at anything. You know, I think, I don't like to use that, but we're not just amateurs at this, we're professionals in the sense that we study the Word of God. And so, when it comes to just in the natural, somebody who's a professional who makes a living at it takes time to do what? They're skilled at what they do. They wouldn't be a professional. But do they keep practicing? They have coaches that they constantly keep working with to improve what they already know. And we need to be doing the same. Excuse me. Faith comes by what? Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing what? The Word of God. So we need to be doing the same. And the more I go back and read and reread material and feed on the scripture, it just stirs me when I look and I say, okay, buddy boy, you need to make some adjustments. You need to think about the words you're speaking. So, excuse me. So I want us today to think about what the Master shared. He shared some things in Mark 11:22. What did he say? Have faith in God. Have trust in God. And even in Mark, in Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it's not possible to please God. So it's important that we operate in faith. We know we walk by faith and not by sight. And faith comes by hearing. And hearing what? the Word of God. But it's not just the Word of God. It's what? The Rhema of God. That word, the Word is Rhema. That means that's the revealed Word of God. So how do you keep, how do you get something to be revealed? Psalm 119, 130 said it's the entrance of his word brings light, it brings revelation. So it's the constant feeding, the letting in of the word of God that brings light, brings revelation. I'm going to get through this today in Jesus' name without any hindrance. Let me have a tissue, please. Well, I tell you, last Sunday, I think I'll be fine. Here. You have to decree what it is you're going to have, and we're going to have it. So, 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we having what? The same spirit of faith, according as it is written. Therefore, what? We speak. As I have spoken, I have believed, or I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we do what? Speak. So the spirit of faith is not limited. The spirit of faith is not limited. And we need to do what? Continually affirm or confess what we believe. Now let's, or I could put it another way, there is no such thing as unchallenged faith. Your faith in life is going to be challenged. So don't think you're not going to go through life being challenged with the things that you believe and speak in faith. Now let's look at Hebrews 11:1. And I want to spend a little time here. And I believe this with all my heart, that today we're going to see some things that maybe we didn't see before. Or we're going to make some adjustments today. I believe that. I'm convinced of it. And you just keep your hearts open to hear. And if you don't get it initially, then go back and listen again. But I believe there's going to be some examples used today that I think there'll be some connection. There'll be a connection. And there's going to be some positive outcome. But Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, what's the evidence? Your faith is the evidence of things not seen. So two things, faith is substance. Let me read it in another translation. This is the, well, let's look at the Passion Translation first. It says, now faith brings our hopes, or you could say our expectations. What do you, that's why it says, what are you expecting? Because faith gives substance to that. So if you're not expecting anything, faith can't give substance to nothing. Something times nothing is nothing. I think we were taught that in grade school. So substance has to give something to something that you're expecting. So faith brings our hopes or expectations into reality and becomes the foundation. What is the foundation? Faith is the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. So you can't have expectations without faith. Faith is substance. You can't say, I'm expecting this, and then there be no faith. Faith is based on the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. I can't expect something for God to do something without me knowing what His will is. Then faith comes. And faith, then I can expect something. And then faith gives substance to something that I expect God to do because He's promised it. It's my covenant. Does everybody understand that? And it says, it is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. Now let's look at the authentic translation. It says, now faith forms a solid ground for our expectations. What does? Faith. Your expectation, it's like this. This floor forms the solid ground for that chair to sit on. You don't sit on a chair without a floor, or you're going somewhere. So faith forms the solid ground on which your expectation rests upon. And it goes on. Now faith forms the solid ground for our expectations, the proof of unseen actualities. This is the Berkeley translation. It says, but faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for or what is expected. So there has to be hope or an expectation, but you cannot have an expectation without faith. Because faith forms the solid ground. Faith is the support. Faith gives substance to something that you're expecting. And you can't have faith without, you can have faith, but if you don't expect anything, it's not going to give substance to something. So you can get all excited at church service. You can hear the word. You can see something. But if you don't release your faith in words, it goes nowhere. You've got to decree what you believe. You were designed in the image and likeness of God. We are a spirit, and that means that this spirit has to speak something. God did. He spoke the worlds into existence. It says all things are held together and supported, what? By his word. Not his thoughts. And yet the word are his thoughts. So we have to speak that which is of faith. So when faith comes, it needs to be voiced. That's why it says, I believed and therefore have I spoken. So faith is activated by words. Now, when it comes to sowing, you sow into your spirit by words. You're feeding God's word into your spirit, and you're also speaking. When I speak that I'm redeemed from the curse of the law, when I speak that I have been saved because I believed that he's Lord and he's raised from the dead, when I speak that, it causes the word to come and be activated. But I had to confess it, didn't I? I didn't think my way into heaven. I had to believe and speak. And that's how we're going to appropriate everything that God has promised. We have to believe it and speak it and continually speak it, not just one and done. It has to be continually spoken. You know, the world has gotten a hold of that. You ever turn your TV on and say, I'm tired of listening to that commercial? Because they know from marketing that it will influence you by hearing something. And then you listen to it enough, you go, I think I need to get that. Well, it's no different with God's word. His word does what? Renews my mind such that I go, you know what? I'm not sick. And yet my body says, well, it may be. But I believe different. And I speak different. Because I'm in a new kingdom. Glory to God. You know, when it talks about, going back to the Passion Translation, it says, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed. You know, when I saw that, it made me think about Luke chapter 6, and talking about, you can turn over there, they'll put it up on the screen, Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 47 in the King James, it says, whosoever cometh to me and does what? Hears my sayings and what? They do them. You hear them and you do them. It said, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which did what? Built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on what? a rock, so that when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. So when we hear the word and we obey it, the storms of life will come up to try to beat it. But if you are founded, and how do we get founded on the word? He said, those that hear the word and do it. So when we take hold of his word and we hear it and believe it and speak it, we're building a foundation. For who? Me. I'm his house. I'm his temple. I'm building a solid foundation so that what? When the storms of life come up, I've built what? In my spirit, a solid foundation that I'm not moved. I'm not moved. But it also said, if you hear the word and don't do it, it says they built the house on sand. So what does that mean? If you're not hearing and you're not applying and doing and continuing, then you're building a found, you're not building a solid foundation, so that when problems of life come up, we might be affected by that. It says you will. So this thing of expecting is important, because faith gives substance to something that God has promised. It's our expectation. I expect to be healed. I expect to be prosperous. Why? Because I'm sowing seed into the kingdom of God. I expect that the things that I say, I have the wisdom of God. I expect to operate in the wisdom of God. I'm expecting it. Maybe we're not there yet, but I'm what? Expecting it. I'm expecting it. It's like when we call in $80,000 a week. We are expecting it. We don't have it yet, but faith gives substance to something we expect. You may not have your bank accounts full, but I'm expecting it, because I'm sowing seed into the kingdom of God. And he said that he will multiply my seed sown. So I'm expecting it. Stop talking like you're not expecting it. That's how many farmers, if you want to look at what a farmer expects, look at the seed that he sows. He doesn't say, sure hope we get a crop, and then not plant anything. That's dumb. They'd say, what kind of farmer are they? A dumb one. So if you want to know what kind of harvest you want or expect, there needs to be sowing of seed, which then you do what? Then you can expect a harvest. Because this said here, let me show you. This is what he kept saying. Whosoever cometh to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you what type of person it is. So when we hear, what does that mean? Heareth means that's not just hearing it once. That means I'm hearing the word. That means what? I'm open to receive it. I've allowed it into my heart and my hearing. I'm meditating on it. And what? I'm doing it. So this is an important thing. Now, I'm going to use an example today. I really believe this will help folks. Most of us, and I believe everybody will connect with this, most of us sitting in this room have some kind of heating or air conditioning system in your home or your apartment. Do we all agree with that? Now, maybe you live in an area, maybe you don't have. I know there's some that said, we don't have that. Well, okay, but you have a thermostat in the house, right? Or you have a unit where you can adjust something. So these units are designed to do what? Either produce heat or cold. They're designed. It's the heart of the system. The engineers designed the heating and cooling system to produce heat and cold. It's not designed to wash your clothes. It's not designed to cook your food. It's designed to do only one thing: produce heat or cold. It doesn't make its own decisions, does it? A heating and cooling system doesn't just decide, you know what? I think I'm going to produce something else. No, it was designed to produce one thing, either heat or cold. And what sends the impulse to that? What sends the impulse to the machinery, the system, to start producing something? The thermostat. The thermostat is the goal setter. It's what you expect. So if you never set the thermostat, if you never set it, you get nothing. The unit will just sit there. It's plugged into the wall. It's got electricity. It's just sitting there waiting for a goal. And if you never release words in faith, you never set an expectation. If you just sit there and say, boy, I sure hope it gets hot in here or cold, it'll never do anything unless you go over and you adjust that thermostat and set a goal, set an expectation. If it's hot in this room and I want it to be cooler, I go over there and I adjust it to what I want or expect the machine to do. If you're not satisfied with the results in your life, you need to be doing what? Setting some goals and expectations. Everybody get where we're going with this. That machine is designed to respond to what you set the thermostat to. Well, let me ask you a question. Your spirit is designed to produce what you put in it. It doesn't make its own decisions. Your spirit doesn't decide to just do what it wants. It's designed to respond to an expectation. And that expectation is set and put in you by what you believe and say. You can't expect good and speak evil. You can't expect cold and don't do anything or put it on hot. You can't get it. You've got to set your mouth to the place where you expect. What if you're not satisfied with the harvest that you're experiencing in life, then do what? Change the thermostat. Change the expectation. And if you're doing that, here's another thing. Think about this. What if you're hot in this room and you want it to be cool? You know, we went through this sometimes with even people, you know, I've lived through this through years and others here that maybe have operated some of these big 60-ton units in the large arena. We have three of those. We used to have four. And they're designed to heat or cool. Well, when they're charged with, you know, when they're designed to operate, I don't care how cold you want to set that thermostat to, it's only going to produce what it's capable of doing at that moment. It'll keep running until it does what? It reaches that expectation. And it's no different. What would you do? What would you think of a person who sets it to 60 degrees and it doesn't change, and then they set it to 95, and then they set it back down to 75? You'd make that machine go nuts. It'd be confused. And probably you might cause some problems. Well, it's no different. If we release words with an expectation and we don't see something and then we change something and then we change something, how does your heart produce what you're expecting? What do you expect? You've got to let it run. You've got to let this spirit, I'll just say it this way. When you release words, your spirit will work day and night, night and day, day and night, working to lead you to produce what you expect. If you speak evil and you speak doubt and unbelief, your spirit will work night and day to lead you into doubt and unbelief, and will cause you to think and make decisions that'll produce that. But if you talk positive and you talk covenant, your spirit will work day and night, month after month, year after year. It's a process, just like that heating and air conditioning unit. It doesn't happen instantly. But it works, and it keeps working and keeps working. The engine, the machine, is designed to produce. Your spirit is designed to produce what you expect. But you have to keep speaking what you expect. And your spirit will produce it. You know, there was a story that Charles Capps shared. I heard it back in, you know, the late 70s, early 80s. When he was on stage, he'd come and teach these principles. And when he got a hold of the Word of God and he began to see that the Word of God has within it the substance to produce what it says it will. So the Word of God has the substance. It has healing in it. The Word of God has prosperity in it, faith for prosperity, faith for healing. it will produce that. Think about this. When you plant seeds in the ground, if I plant tomatoes, the seed doesn't go, you know what, I think I'm going to do cucumbers. The seed has the substance within it to produce what it is. So the seed of the Word of God for healing will produce that. It's not going to produce prosperity. It's not going to produce wisdom. The scripture will produce healing when you put that in you. It will produce if you expect it. Faith is the substance. It's the substance of what? Things expected. When I plant it in my spirit will work night and day to produce healing in my spirit, and it will what? Affect my body. It's no different. If I want to operate in a greater level of wisdom and revelation, then I feed on the Word of God. I might read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 23. Thank you, Lord, for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened. And you begin to say, I thank you, Lord, that I'm wise. I'm operating in the wisdom of God. You plant that seed, and your spirit will work night and day to produce that. It has within it the ability to produce that. Just like the heating and air conditioning unit was designed to produce heat or cold. But you've got to set the thermostat. You've got to set the expectation. What are you expecting? I expect to operate in godly wisdom. I expect that my business is prosperous if you're a business owner. You know, one of the vendors that we use here for sound, he shared something. It was really a wonderful testimony. He said, you know, in my business, and he wasn't talking personally, but he was talking his business. He said, you know, in my business, we were not consistent with our tithing concerning the business. And he said, God began to nudge me, and I spoke to my wife, and I said, you know what? We're making a decision that we are going to tithe all of the income that comes into our business. And he said this to me, I can point you to the month. And I said, he said, my business shot up. And it's been going up ever since. It's never come back down. He said, we began to tithe, and he said, I can show you the month. You can look at my books. My books began to shoot up. Business came from all over the place. Now, he was good at what he was doing, but he said, I began to do what? Hear the word and apply it, and God honored it, and he began to do some things. So all I'm saying is, if you want something produced in this natural realm, we have to do what? Plant some spiritual seeds. And the word has the substance to produce it. God's word is spirit and life. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when I've been meditating on that, I said, okay, I'm not going to come up short in life because God has given us His Word. And it has the ability to produce. But I've got to set the thermostat. I've got to set my expectation and not budge. Like, I'm not going over the thermostat and change it. I'm going to leave it at what I expect until I get it. Right? Is this getting into you? I mean, is this getting down in your spirit? I'll tell you, hoo-wee. Yeah. So I'm just sharing some thoughts. The substance is in the seed itself. Faith is the substance of everything needed to accomplish what you expect. Faith is the substance. It gives substance to that which you hope for, that which you expect. That's why when Brother Hagin was alive, he would say, I'd rather set my goals high and get the half of them than set them to nothing and get them all. You've got to set your goals high. You've got to set your expectations high and work the Word of God. Hallelujah. Always speak your expectation. You know, I know there's a minister, a friend of ours, he said, without expectation, there can be no manifestation. The machine is not going to produce hot or cold. It's not going to manifest something without a goal set, without something set, without an expectation. If I don't expect this room to get cool and I don't set that, machine's just going to sit there waiting for a command. The machine is designed to produce, and it'll just sit there and idle and do nothing. And a lot of times, that's where we are in life. We're not setting the thermostat. We're not decreeing what we expect. And if we are decreeing it, sometimes when we don't see something happen quick enough, we change the thermostat. We talk about something. Well, you know, this ain't happening and this ain't happening and we can't. Why are you changing the thermostat? Why are you doing that? Hey, I've done the same thing. We ought not change our lips from what we expect, regardless of what we're walking through. Because if you believed, you would expect it. You don't get something in the natural and you're all excited about it, and then you go, well, you know, maybe it will, maybe it won't. If you truly expect it, you hold steady, because we're getting it. We're going to have it. Amen. So let's take a look as we close here. Let's take a look. I know I'm staying on this a little bit, but I want to. Hebrews 10, 23. In the King James, it says what? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, what? Without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Now, this word faith is not your normal word that you would see. It's not pistis, which is a normal word for faith used in throughout the Bible. This word here for faith is anticipate or expectation. You look it up yourself. It's ELPIS. It means to anticipate, expect. So this means what? What is this saying? Let us hold fast the profession of our expectation. Let us hold fast the profession of what we expect. Yeah. So results don't change or happen overnight, do they? So you need to continually what? Speak what you believe. This is the Renner interpretive version, Rick Renner's interpretive version. Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us come into agreement with God and then begin to speak what he says, holding tightly to what we confess and refusing to let anyone take it from us. So we're to do what? Hold fast to what we expect. Hold fast the confession of our faith. That means whatever. I mean, maybe it can mean anything. He said, if you can find it in the Word of God, then it's a promise from God. And you are his child. You're redeemed by what? His blood. In whom we have redemption. What? Through his blood. So that means because of the blood, I'm healed. That means I need to profess. When I bring my seed into the storehouse, I can expect something. You've heard me say this years ago. And it applies here. You know, I was not seeing something happen in my life regarding financial upward mobility or financial prosperity. And I was sowing at that time 30-35%. I still do. But I was not seeing something in the natural. I never voiced it, I just thought it. How come I'm not seeing this? Well, there you go. You're not saying anything. And I remember in a time of laughter, the Holy Ghost spoke this to me. He said, if you will work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. That's what he said to me. And I sure didn't have two nickels to rub together at the time. But he said, if you'll do this, there's going to be a change. You've got to speak what you expect. The engine, the substance is in the word. The substance, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if you want a change in your harvest, you've got to speak it. And not just a little bit, you've got to say, thank you, Lord, I thank you that I sowed my seed this week, and I thank you that my bank accounts are full and overflowing. Thank you that you're giving me wisdom to manage it. Thank you that you're multiplying my seed sown. And if you will do that, God said he will multiply your seed. But you've got to do what? The engine is designed to produce something. But you've got to do what? Set the thermostat. You've got to set your expectation and maintain it. Because what? God is faithful that promised. Hallelujah. He is faithful. He will bring it to pass. He watches over his word to perform it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm telling you, if you just walk away from here and make some adjustments in your life, adjustments, you look at your life and say, do I like this harvest? Am I getting a harvest in this area? If you're not getting the harvest that you expect, well, maybe that might be the problem. Maybe you're not expecting anything. You're just hoping that God will do something. That God will do something because I brought my tithe into the storehouse and it was the right thing to do. All of those things are true. God is good. He does expect us to bring our tithe into the storehouse. But you've got to set your expectation. And that expectation is based upon what? His word. And when he said, if you sow your seed, he will multiply it. Well, then what are you supposed to do? Thank him and say, thank you, Lord. It's so. It's multiplying. And you continue to thank him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm telling you, let me just read one scripture, we'll close. In Mark 11:23. Let me read this in the Weymouth translation. It says, in solemn truth, I tell you that if anyone shall say to this mountain, remove and hurl thyself into the sea, and has what? No doubt about it in his heart, but steadfastly believes that what he says will happen, it shall be granted him. So there needs to not be any doubt. Because doubt will just short-circuit faith. When you're in doubt over something, that means you're calling into question something. I wonder if this, if you're in doubt, you're calling into question something, whatever that is you're doubting. Right? It means what? To be uncertain about something. Well, God, we just read in his word, he is faithful that promised. So why am I doubting that? Have faith in God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I'm finished and concluded, but I read this. I'm really enjoying, for those that might have heard me share this. I've shared a couple of these testimonies by this woman and her husband, Dennis and Jean Cook. They were, some of you have been at prayer meeting here, I've shared them. Has anybody else heard me share this? A few of you have. But they graduated from Rhema the same year that Pastor Clinton and Sarah did, 1980. They graduated in 1980. He's since gone home to be with the Lord. She's still alive. But they relocated through a number of circuitous things, you know, just how the Lord was leading them. They relocated to Panama. And they relocated to an area of Panama that the National Geographic said it's the densest jungle in the world. And so they ultimately went into that jungle area. And of course, you know, I'm not going to go into that, but all of that. But let me just read two of these testimonies she had. She said, when we first moved to Darien, this is this area that they moved into. It was a jungle area, very dense. It says, when we first moved to Darien, it was very spiritually dark place. Witchcraft ruled. The devil used the spirit of fear to control everyone. It was the law that governed his kingdom. They, meaning these were the Indians that were in that area, they called him the evil eye and thought he was always watching them 24/7. When Dennis, this is her husband, began teaching the Word of God, he began teaching the character of God. As the Word of God began to take root in their hearts, change began. He taught on how God spoke everything into being by the power of his Word. There was no sin in God, so all of heaven stood behind the words that he spoke. The law of unconditional love governed heaven. When Adam sinned, he was still a child of God, but he lost the authority behind the words he spoke. He explained how the devil ruled the earth after Adam sinned until Jesus came. When Jesus came, he had no sin in him. He spoke with authority. Even the winds and the sea obeyed him. He radiated how deeply God the Father loved his children. He healed the sick, raised the dead, and cast out devils to break the authority of the devil over God's children. There wasn't anything that he did not have power over. And she continues, the witch doctors tried everything to kill Dennis to prevent him from teaching the Word of God. The Indians watched Dennis stand against the witch doctors without any fear. He used to say, fear is not in my vocabulary. Little by little, Dennis began establishing churches and teaching the people that fear had no power over them. They could stand in authority and speak God's word and defeat the devil. When that revelation came in, it changed everything in Darien. Now, this is the part that got me. The most powerful witch doctor in Colombia and Panama shared this testimony. Now, I'm assuming, because I'm reading her book, most of the villages got saved. So I'm assuming this witch doctor got saved. But he was the most powerful in Colombia and Panama. He said, every child of God has the name of Jesus written in blood on their forehead. In the supernatural realm, the light on their foreheads penetrates all the darkness. A horn blows and says, there's a child of the Most High God walking in the area. Now, this is what he said. He said, we hope they do not know that they are bearers of the most powerful name in the universe. He hopes they don't know it. And it goes on. We hope they do not know that the authority of the spoken word of God, every demon, sickness, circumstance, has to come to a screeching halt and bow their knees because the spoken word of God holds the final authority. He said, we just hope that people don't know this. And that's where the devil is today. He just hopes you don't know, and he just hopes you don't take hold of something and believe God and set your expectation and say, I'm going to do this for God. I'm going to have this for God. We're going to do this for God, come what may. Now, she had another testimony here. She said, when we first started going down into the Darien jungles, we would have open-air crusades. In one of the crusades, a lady came up and put her little baby in my arms. He looked to be about 6 months old. The baby was burning up with fever. I was praying for him as I was holding him close to my heart. Dennis started preaching, and in a grass hut, a bunch of witches were speaking so loud the audience couldn't hear Dennis preaching. Dennis sent one of our pastors over to tell them to speak softer. He didn't tell them to be quiet. He wasn't rude. He just told them to speak softer. They increased their voices even louder. Then a horrible strong wind blew right over Dennis's head and went straight to the witch's hut. It knocked them on their faces and they began screaming in terror. Denny sent another pastor over to ask them to be quiet. The pastor came back and said the wind struck them down and they were all blind. So he asked the pastor to bring them to the crusade. So he did, and Dennis finished his message and had an altar call. I brought the baby up to be prayed for. The witches came to be prayed for, and they received their sight back. They said the wind had blinded them and said, never interfere with the gospel being preached again. The baby was a witch doctor's baby. He had tried to heal the baby but couldn't. So his wife brought the baby to be prayed for, and the baby was healed. So we have nothing to fear. We are led by the Spirit of God. We are led by Him, not by fear. We don't think fear. We don't speak fear. We don't speak doubt. You don't say, sure hope it gets warm in here. Sure hope it gets cold in here. I hope it all works out. No. What things soever you bind on earth, whatever you forbid on earth, is already forbidden in heaven. And whatever you allow on earth is already allowed in heaven. So we need to start forbidding some things and say, you're not going to do this. You take your hands off of this person in the name of Jesus. Satan, I forbid you to operate in this area. Some of us that go back into your areas, you need to command that spirit in that area. You forbid it in the name of Jesus. Set your expectation, which is the word of God. Amen. Glory to God. God is good. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is precious. We thank you that the word of God is the power of God unto salvation. And so, Father, we thank you that the word is working mightily in each one of us in Jesus' name. And so, Father, we thank you today. Thank you that the seed of this has been planted in our hearts and some watered again. And so, Father, we determine to speak the promises of God, not the problem. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. I hope this registers on your heart a little bit. And if it doesn't, go back, feed upon it, meditate on it, and change, make adjustments where needed, where your expectations are concerned. Amen. Glory to God. That's why I am a big adherent or a proponent, however word you want to use. I am one that looks at the prophecies that have been given to this church because the people that have were reputable in God, and they spoke some things over this church just the same way that God gave a motto to this church. God desires that to be manifested. So the question is, are we expecting that here? This is a place where the love of God is evident. I expect that. And it starts with me. This is a house, a place where the love of God is evident. This is a place where the Word of God is taught. This is a place where the Spirit of God is directing. Where? In me. And this is a place where the power of God is manifested. So I begin to expect it in me and say it, and then we say, this house is a place where that happens. Glory to God. Praise God. Well, before we close, we're already closed, but we're finished. But just if there's anyone here or watching online that has never made a profession of faith, faith gives substance to something expected. I expect to be saved by God. And how does that come about? We do what? We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. And we do what? Believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And it says if you do that, you'll be saved. So if you're here today or you're watching and you need to make that profession, maybe you never did, or maybe you got away from God and maybe you're not serving him like you should. Well, you do the same thing. Say, Lord, forgive me. I want to come home and serve you with all my heart. Well, let's say that. Father God, I believe and confess that Jesus is Lord. He is the Savior of mankind. And I believe that he was raised from the dead. And so I ask you, Jesus, come into my heart, make something new of me, cleanse me with your precious blood, and I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you're here today and you didn't make that confession, or you've changed, turned to go to the right way or the right path, then just let us know. Raise your hand. They'll give you some free information. I'll pray with you. And again, if there's anybody here that needs healing in your body or needs someone to get in agreement with, we can do that now before we leave, if you're here. But I'm telling you, faith, I believe, has been spoken. You begin to make some adjustments in your expectations. Boy, I'm telling you, it will change your life. Stop living beneath your privilege. Don't think, well, maybe it's for somebody. No, it's for you. It's for you. And you need to expect that it's for me, because he died for you. He shed his blood for you. And what he paid for is yours. Expect it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless you.